Amen. Let's all turn our Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 32 tonight. A Redeemer is faithful and true. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's just as powerful as he's always been, just as loving as he's always been. Changes none. I praise the Lord for that. Jeremiah chapter 32 together tonight. Glad you braved the weather to come here. We're here together. We can put all these things out of our mind. The impeachment's over. It's as gone as Pelosi's copy of the State of the Union address is. And we can just be looking here at the Word of God together tonight. So Jeremiah chapter 32, and begin reading in verse 16. It says, "Now when I had delivered the evidence of the purchase unto Baruch, the son of Neriah, I prayed unto the Lord, saying, Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Thou showest loving kindness unto thousands, and recompense the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of their grandchildren after them. The great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts, is his name. Great in counsel and mighty in work. For thine eyes are open upon all the ways of the sons of men, to give every one according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings, which has set signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, even unto this day, and in Israel, and among other men, and has made thee a name as at this day, and has brought forth thy people Israel out of the land of Egypt with signs and with wonders and with a strong hand, with an outstretched arm and with great terror. And has given them this land, which thou didst swear to their fathers to give them, a land flowing with milk and honey. And they came in and possessed it. But they obeyed not thy voice, neither walked in thy law. They have done nothing of all that thou commandest them to do. Therefore thou hast caused all this evil to come upon them. Behold the mounts. They are come unto the city to take it, and the city is given into the hand of the Chaldeans that fight against it because of the sword and of the famine and of the pestilence. And what thou hast spoken has come to pass, and behold, thou seest it. And thou hast said unto me, O Lord God, buy thee the field for money and take witnesses, for the city is given into the hand of the Chaldeans. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" Tonight I want to talk to you for a few moments about comfort and uncertainty. Comfort and uncertainty. Let's pray. Lord, I love you. God, thank you for the day you've given us. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for, Lord, all your blessings. Lord, I thank you that you are our faithful God. And Lord, you are true. Lord, you change not. And I pray, God, that with those reminders tonight, no matter what we're facing, Lord, no matter how difficult our life may be or the choices may be that we need to make, God, I pray that we can be comforted in the fact that you are the unchanging God, as all-powerful, able to help us, able to guide and direct us each and every day. We ask all these things in your name. Amen. President Harry S. Truman used to tell this story about a man that had been hit on the head while he was at work, and the blow from the hit was so hard that it caused him to be unconscious for many days. And his family would go visit him at the hospital, the doctors, nothing was changing. And it got to a point where they just assumed that he was dead, and they called the funeral home, asked the undertaker to come get him and pick him up at the hospital because there was no signs of life. And after that night had passed and they had him placed in the casket, this man woke up. And he sat straight up in the casket, and as he was there early in the morning, had just woken up from this long sleep, he's blinking his eyes, and he's looking around, and he sees he's in this velvet box, trying to figure out what had happened. And he said, "If I'm alive, what in the world am I doing in this soft box? And if I'm dead, why do I have to go to the bathroom?" This man was full of uncertainty. He had no idea where he was. And we find Jeremiah in a very uncertain time in his life. This passage here in Jeremiah chapter 32 is written in a very wicked time for the children of Israel. The people of God had turned away from God. They embraced the gods of the pagan nations around them. And their character can be seen very clearly in this chapter, what we read, the mindset that they were at. know, because of their sin, Jeremiah had been sent by God to preach unto them righteousness and to warn them, and God was going to bring his judgment on the people. It was going to be a time of pain and sorrow and judgment and death on their part. And Jeremiah was sent to preach the word of the Lord to his people. But as we see in this book, they didn't want to hear. As Jeremiah would prophesy to them and tell them of what was coming, they had no interest in hearing that. They had no interest in repenting. They were so consumed with their sin, with their lives, that they had no desire to hear anything from God or to make any changes for God. And Jeremiah preached in a climate like that for 50 years. For 50 years, he preached righteousness and warned them of a coming judgment and warned them of what God had told them to warn them about. And we find no record in this book of any of them coming, any of them repenting. It was a very tragic time for the nation of Israel, and it's sad for us to look at all that God had given them and blessed them with, and they're there in the land, and we see that they were turning from God. They had angered him, and they were going to be judged for those choices. You know, Jeremiah was commanded to tell them that they would be invaded, and he was sent to tell them they would be invaded and taken captive, and he was also sent to deliver this final message to King Zedekiah. And as he went with this message to the king, it even lessened his popularity. And at that moment, King Zedekiah took him and imprisoned him for preaching the truth. And this passage that we have is written at a time where Jeremiah was in prison. And out of this tragic and difficult time in his life, there's a ray of hope for us to apply to our life, to be encouraged by, something for all of us who know the Lord to take to heart and to look to and have faith in. As Jeremiah was in this uncertain time, you know, God gave him exactly what he needed. You know, as we experience life, we're going to face times of uncertainty. As we live our lives, as we in our flesh are living in this world, we are going to face trials. Jobs are going to be lost. There's going to be difficulties in the workplace. People that you know, people that you love will offend you, will let you down, will do things that could hurt a relationship. There's going to be sickness. There's going to be death. There's going to be time with those that you love very much being cut shorter than you thought it would ever be. There's going to be uncomfortable, uncertain times in your life. It's not easy being a Christian in the world that we live in. We can look at the media and all the things around us, and it's a very wicked society that we live in, and the things that are being pushed on our children, the things that are being accepted and celebrated are uncomfortable for us. And in our role as Christians, we live in an uncertain time on where we stand many times if we're not careful, and the stands that we need to take and the push that we need to give and what we need to do with our lives. It's very uncertain, uncomfortable for many Christians. You know, the same God that was speaking here to Jeremiah is the same God that speaks to us today. Amen. The same truths we find given to Jeremiah are the same truths that we need to trust in today. He's the God of comfort then, and he's the God of comfort today. Let's look at this passage together. We see a few things that God has for us in it. The first thing we find in the verses that we read in verse 17, the confidence of Jeremiah. See the confidence of Jeremiah. Jeremiah tells us there in verse 16, he began to pray unto God. And in verse 17, as he was praying to God, he says, "Behold, thou hast made the heaven, the earth, by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee." You know, as Jeremiah began to pray, he began to remind himself of who his God was and what he was capable of. And that brought him confidence in an uncertain time in his life. It brought hope. And as he prayed to God and as he reminded himself of who his God was and the capabilities of his God, it humbled him as a man to trust who his God was. It strengthened his faith. And when we pray, we should do the same thing. The first thing he reminded himself of and had confidence in was the work of God. He considered the work of the hands of his God. And knowing with that God that nothing shall be impossible. There's a question he asked. He said, "Is there anything too hard?" He said, "There is nothing too hard for thee." He stated there, God, there is nothing too hard for thee. You are limitless in your capabilities. He had confidence in the work of God. I've really appreciated the Sunday school series that we've been in the book of Genesis and all that we've been able to get from and have been reminded of. And one of the greatest and most clear explanations of the power of God we find in the very first verse of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The God that we look to for help is the God that spoke everything we know of into existence. He's limitless. The Bible says in Psalm 8, O Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. God, our God, is an excellent God. There's no one higher. You know, regardless of the uncertainty you may face today, if you're his, you belong to the God who made it all. And if he can make everything out of nothing, he can be trusted to take care of you. He had confidence in the work of God. He also had confidence in the provision of God. He reads there in verse 18, thou showest loving kindness unto thousands, and recompense the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of their children after them. The great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts is his name. Great in counsel, mighty in work. And he continued on just explaining and remembering, reminding himself as he was praying to God of who his God was. He's the God of grace. He's the God of love. He's the God of mercy, the God of provision. He's the God of the miracles and power. And we look throughout the Word of God, and Jeremiah was recounting what God had done for his own people. How they were able to be rescued from Egypt, and how they crossed the Red Sea, and how God provided water for them when they needed it, and how God just protected them time after time from enemy after enemy. We can look in the New Testament and find examples of the power of God and how God had provided, just looking at stories as simple as the feeding of the 5,000 and how Jesus provided food with just a little amount. John 11, one of my favorite stories in the Word of God, we find Mary and Martha weeping over the loss of their brother Lazarus. And in that passage, we find two things that Jesus does. The first thing, after he arrived there 4 days late, he wept. Jesus wept. He cared for those people. He had sorrow with them. He mourned with them at that point. You know, we have a God who cares for us. And not only does he care for us, but he also provides for us. Not only did Jesus weep, but just a few verses later in that passage, he said, Lazarus, come forth. He raised him from the dead. We have the God of provision on our side. He should bring us confidence. He's also the God of deliverance. You look there in verse 21, and has brought forth thy people Israel out of the land of Egypt with signs, with wonders, with a strong hand, with an outstretched arm, with great terror. He remembered how God had moved them from Egypt, remembered how he brought them into the land of Canaan. And God's power was demonstrated as he saved his people, and the thought of that gave Jeremiah confidence. As we look here in this passage, and as we read the Bible on our own, as we hear the stories and are reminded of the power of God, it should give us confidence as well. As we remind ourselves of the capabilities of our limitless God, it should strengthen our faith. It should give us confidence in the uncertainty. The God who created this universe and the stars, the moon, the planets by speaking them to existence, and the one that is holy, eternal, infinite, omnipotent, omniscient, the God who has all those attributes, is the same God that loved us and gave himself for us. That should give us confidence. Where's your confidence? You may be in an uncertain time. Is your confidence in yourself and trying to figure out the problems on your own? Is it in your spouse? Is it in the doctors? Is it in someone that you seek counsel from, or is it in the Almighty Creator God? See the confidence of Jeremiah. We also see the heaviness of Jeremiah. There's problems that he was facing. You look there in verse 23. He speaks about all that God had done for them, and then he's reminded of what is going on again with his own people. And he says, and they came in and possessed it, but they obeyed not thy voice, neither walked in thy law. They have done nothing of all that thou hast commandest them to do, therefore thou hast caused all this evil to come upon them. You know, while the people of God have been blessed, we look here and are reminded that they refused to walk in the will of their God. And as a result of that, they're experiencing judgment on their nation. You know, Jeremiah is witnessing the disobedience of the people that he loves and cares for and is wanting to minister to. And as he's witnessing their disobedience, he's also going to witness the wrath being poured out on them. And that's a very hard thing for him to take in. That's a very hard thing for him to observe, to watch. It brought pain to him, no doubt. And you imagine 50 years of preaching to these people, trying to help them, trying to preach this truth, and then we find it hasn't been received, it hasn't been taken in, taken to heart, and there's no repentance going on. The ones that he cares for are going to be punished. No doubt there is anxiety, ill feelings of what was happening. This is a crisis in his life, and this is a holy man of God living in the midst of unholy people. As he's praying this prayer to God, and as he's being reminded of what is going on here, he's in prison for preaching what God had told him to preach. There's great heaviness in his heart, no doubt, because of that. You know, Job said, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. We're going to go through trials. There's going to be heavy times in my life. There's going to be heavy times in your life. We need to expect it. We need to know that those times will come. There's going to be times that there's people that you've tried to reach, as Jeremiah was here in this passage, people that you've prayed for, people that you've loved, people that you've tried to help. And there's going to be a time in your life where you will see one of them fall into sin. See one of them drift away from what God's will is for their life. And just as Jeremiah was experiencing all this pain, that same pain may come to you one day. It's great uncertainty in his mind. Now, after Jeremiah was thrown into prison and he's observing all that is going on and he's feeling that pain, the Lord comes to him while he's in prison. In verse 6 through 12 of this chapter, you can look at it later if you'd like to. He commanded him to purchase a piece of property from his uncle. While he's in prison, in land that's about to be taken, God tells Jeremiah to purchase a battleground, basically. You think of a reason to buy property in the first place, it's somewhere you'd want to settle. Most people do it because they have plans for the future, but Jeremiah is being told by God to purchase land that he's probably never going to be able to use on his own. He's buying a piece of property that he might not ever see, never use in his lifetime. It's a very uncertain decision that Jeremiah had to make, but one that he had to obey because God had told him to do so. As we look here, you know, God is having Jeremiah do this task, buy this land as a symbol at one day, as God had promised, as we've talked about the book of Genesis, God keeps his promises, and one day, after the chastisement of the children of Israel, he's going to bring them back, and one of Jeremiah's descendants could have that land. It's a reminder that this land is still yours, and one day you'll be back here. But Jeremiah, at this time, was feeling a lot of pressure and uncertainty in this decision that needed to be made. You know, the Lord works in ways that we don't always understand. And in our flesh, we will be perplexed. There's many things in my life that I've gone through that I have not quite understood. I could think of about 5 years ago, we made a decision to move to Georgia, and we knew that's what God had for us to do, and we loved the people there and loved serving there. And 10 months later, God made it very clear to us that we were not supposed to be there anymore, and he brought us back here. I was very uncertain, unsure of what was going on at that time, but I know it was the exact plan God had for us. It was a fearful time, and Jeremiah is experiencing fear, wondering what people are going to think about our choice to go down there, and wondering how we're going to be judged for, all these rumors are going to start, or maybe we did something we shouldn't have done, or there was some kind of disagreement there at the church, and all these different things that we may have, that we felt people may have thought about us. It was just fear. But I'm glad I obeyed the Lord. You know, Jeremiah, he references again what God had told him to do there in verse 25. He'd done it already. He had proof of it. He had witnesses, and the property was his. And part of these feelings that he may have had at the time was he maybe didn't want to look like a fool. He's in prison buying a piece of land when the nation was on the brink of destruction. And he's like, how do I explain this to people? You ever feel that way in your life? You know what the Lord has for you to do. You know this call that's placed. You know this decision you need to make, but you just wonder what people are going to think about it. Some things in the Christian life that we are called to do, some things in the Christian life that we must do in obedience to God, or may seem strange to us and definitely seem strange to the world. And we worry about what the world or our family or our friends may think about a decision that we make. Worry about how we're going to make it. There's a lot of stories like that in the Word of God. Think of the children of Israel again. Moses in Exodus 14 was commanded to hold a stick over the Red Sea. And God delivered them. They get to a place where the water was bitter. God told Noah to cut down a tree and to throw it in the water, and that would fix the problem. God told Moses when they needed water again to strike a rock and they would have water. Everyone had been bitten by a snake and they were going to die, and God told them to put a snake up on a pole and look at it and everything's going to be okay. There's a lot of uncertain things that God is going to have us do in our life, but we need to trust Him. Depend on Him. And you think of the story of Naaman and the leprosy, and God told him to, through the prophet, to dip himself 7 times in the Jordan River. And you think of those first 6 times, he's doing what God had told him to do, and how weird he is and silly he may be feeling doing exactly to the letter what God had told him to do. And finally, on that 7 times, sees the results. As we look at those things in the Bible and we put ourselves in that position, none of those things would make sense to us in our flesh. But they were all the will of God. You know, the secret to our contentment in the service of God is absolute obedience, even when we don't understand what the outcome is going to be. I think of Genesis chapter 6 there, and put yourself in Noah's shoes. God told Noah to build the ark, and he gave him the specifications, something no man has ever seen, anything like it, had never seen rainfall from the sky. And what do we find? Thus did Noah. Noah didn't understand. He didn't know what it was going to look like. He didn't know what the experience was going to be, but he knew as God commanded him to do it, and he trusted Him. In times of uncertainty, we must obey. You know, Jeremiah was praying to God and had confidence in who his God was, but also felt the heaviness of the burdens that he was bearing. He's very aware of God, what he could do. He's very aware of who his God was and the task that he'd been given, but he was going through a lot. And I love what we find there in verse 26. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? See the comfort of Jeremiah. Jeremiah in this difficult position, feeling the pressure, the uncertainty, the fear, was spoken to by his God and brought comfort in his hour of crisis. The first thing God comforted him with was his power. You know, God reiterates here again in this passage that he's going to bring judgment upon the people of Israel for their sin. And everything he had promised to do, he was able to bring to pass. We looked there in verse 27. He says, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh." It says, "I am the God of all flesh. I'm the God of every human being to walk the face of this earth. I am the Creator God. I am all powerful." And he continued to declare his power to Jeremiah by a simple question there that he asked, "Is there anything too hard for me?" If you look at the definition of that word, that the word that was translated hard, it means to be beyond one's power, to be difficult to do. Basically, the Lord was asking Jeremiah, "Is there anything beyond my power? I know you may doubt and your situation doesn't look too good, but Jeremiah, is there anything beyond my power?" You know, God is simply telling Jeremiah, there is nothing that I cannot do, nothing too difficult for me. He was the God of comfort in his power. Comfort comes when we put our obedience in our limitless God. Our God is still the God that possesses all power in heaven and earth, we find in Matthew. He's still the God who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. He's the God that works all things after the counsel of his own will. He's the God that can bring comfort to our hearts. Are we comforted in his power? He's comforted in the power of God. He's also comforted in the promises of God. The Lord continues to speak to him there in verse 36. It says, "And now therefore thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the city whereof you say, it shall be delivered into the hand of King Babylon." He continues to tell Jeremiah, they're going to be taken captive. I'm going to judge them at this time, but I will bring them back. And he was speaking to them, I'm going to purify them, and I'm going to bring them back to a place of blessing. Look there in verse 42. It says, "For thus saith the Lord, like as I have brought all this great evil upon the people, so will I bring upon them all the good that I have promised them." Jeremiah had comfort knowing, yes, they're going to be judged, they're going to be punished for their wickedness, but one day, just as I took them away, I will bring them back and restore them. You know, sometimes the Lord uses trials in our life to mold us, to grow us, to develop us, and no doubt he was doing that with Jeremiah here at this time. Just a few weeks ago, we were on the verse, Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And God can take a situation we see as being impossible to get through, and he can transform that situation into a time of blessing and strengthening. And that brings him glory. And sometimes, as we find the example of here in the children of Israel, the trial in a certain time could come as chastisement. Something God will use to correct or to bring a focus back. And I truly believe that if you're going through a trial or a hard time, and it is God chastising you, I believe God will reveal that to you. You know. You know if it's him strengthening you, or you know if it's something you deserved and he's using to bring you back to him. And we need to find comfort in the promises of God. And lastly, he was comforted by God's statement. Look at chapter 33, verse 1. "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time, while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it, the Lord is his name. Then he said, Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." The God who is all-powerful, that made the world that we live in, that gave the prophet his tasks, that delivered his own people, that was judging his own people, said, "If you call on me, I will answer you and show you great and mighty things." And we think about where Jeremiah was as this promise was made, sitting there in the courts of the prison and in the midst of a wicked nation and someone that's experiencing awful judgment from the Almighty God. And God wanted Jeremiah to know, I can still do great and mighty things for you, but you must pray. You know, God wants our prayers. What a comfort it is to know that we can cast all our care upon Him because He cares for us. You know, it doesn't matter where you are today, He will hear your prayer. It doesn't matter what you're up against, He will hear you. It doesn't matter how heavy your burden is, He will take that burden. It doesn't matter how strong that temptation is, He can take that and give you strength to overcome it. Our God, our limitless God, is the God of comfort. Are we praying as we should? A passage that I use a lot there in Philippians chapter 4, telling us we need to bring our request before God. Let our request be, my mind is going completely blank. You know what I'm saying, that verse about praying, okay? And then that verse right after says, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Are we bringing all our requests before God? Are we praying to God without ceasing? Are we taking all of our needs before Him? Are we praising Him each and every day? Are we praying to Him as we should? When we do that, that's where His peace comes. I read a story today about Robert Louis Stevenson, the author of the book Treasure Island and many others. Told the story of a ship that he was on that was in the middle of a storm off a rocky coast, and it was the storm was pulling it in towards the rocks there. And everyone on the boat was fearful for their life. They were hiding there in the chambers. And in the midst of everything they were dealing with at the time, there was one man that was brave enough to go out and to talk to the steerman of the boat to find out what was going on. And as he held on for his life and he climbed up in the boat and got there out on the deck, he saw the steerman up there standing, holding the wheel, and inch by inch directing the boat away from the rocks back out into safety. And as that man was looking at the captain of the ship steering the boat, the captain of the ship saw him. And he smiled at him and he nodded. And that man that had ventured out there went back under the boat very happy. And these are the words he said, I have seen the face of the pilot. And he looked at everyone and smiled and said, all is well. You know, what are you facing today? You know, if God is in control, all is well. If you're lost tonight, God can save you. If you have a need, He can help you. If your heart is broken, He can comfort you. If you're lonely, He will show you love. If you've fallen, He can restore you. So I want to challenge you tonight, encourage you, in your time of uncertainty, look up. And no matter what storm or uncertainty you're facing, the God of comfort is in control. And all is well. Every head bowed, every eye closed. It's Wednesday night. We don't have a musical invitation, but the altar is always open. There may be someone here tonight that is in an uncertain time. You may be here tonight with a heavy burden. You may be here tonight worried about some decisions you need to make. Feeling the pressure from the workplace, feeling the pressure in your family. Are you looking to the God of all comfort? Lord, we love you, God. We thank you for the day you've given us. Lord, we thank you for who you are, what you've done for us. And I thank you for your grace, your goodness, your mercy. Lord, I thank you for this clear story and that we find here in the book of Jeremiah. out of a warning to follow you in obedience, but God, also a reminder of your strength, your power, your care for us. God, I pray tonight that as we're leaving here, we just all be reminded of who you are and your love for each and every one of us, God. And with that reminder, Lord, no matter how uncertain things may be around us, that we would look to you for help, for strength. And God, we remember that you're the one that we can call on, and you'll answer us and show us great and mighty things. And I pray that you just give us safety as we leave here tonight. We ask all these things in your name.